I'd like to thank your minister for the invitation to come and be a part of your Harvest Thanksgiving services. Do pray for the harvest season. Pray that God will indeed undertake for the farming community at this time with so much rain. And we pray that God will indeed give them the weather just to be able to bring in the final part of the harvest. It's good to be back again. Do please remember, in God's will, the meeting this evening. Come and bring others with you. Encourage them to come to God's house and pray that God's blessing will be upon the preaching of his precious word. I want us to open our Bibles this morning in the book of the Psalms, the Psalm 126. Psalm 126, just simply six verses here. And I trust the Spirit of God will just write these verses upon our hearts even as we read them. And then we meditate upon his word. Psalm 126, verse number 1. When the captivity turned, or when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us. Whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And God will add his blessing. Keep your Bibles open. Let's just seek the face of God in prayer. Let us pray together, please. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy presence this morning, acknowledging that thou art God alone. We thank thee for thy goodness to us, thy blessing to even bring us to thy house today. And, O God, we rejoice in the fact that we're gathered in the house of the Lord. We thank thee for the freedom that we have to be able to gather in a place like this around God's precious word and desire nothing more than to hear a word from thee. Lord, we're not here for just simply for a religious act, but we thank thee we're here to worship thee. And Lord, we're here to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We thank thee for the freedom of the gospel. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I pray that thou wilt write thy word this morning upon our hearts. Help us, our God, as we open the scriptures to meditate upon it. O God, that thou wilt take the word that's written here and in this book, and Lord, that thou wilt write it in our hearts that we might leave the house of the Lord different than even we come in. Lord, I ask in Jesus' precious name to cover me in the precious blood and fill me with thy Holy Spirit, that everything that is said and done today will have one single eye to the glory, the honor of the Lord Jesus. Come thyself, we pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh as we pray. And Lord, just work in our hearts afresh through the preaching of thy word. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want us to turn to this Psalm 126. And indeed, this psalm is one of the psalms we call, if you look there in the top of the psalm, it says, a song of degrees. And you'll find that the song of degrees started at Psalm 120. And it went on to Psalm 134. And these are songs of degrees. There are 15 of them, and this is the seventh of them. The center part of this, the psalms or the songs of degrees. Now, whenever the Jewish pilgrims were going up to Jerusalem, and those, no matter where you lived in Jerusalem, you would have to go up to Jerusalem. And so therefore, the Jewish pilgrims were coming there on the various festivals or feast days. And as they would go along and they would come to certain places that were designated, they would stop and they would sing. They would sing the songs of degrees. And you know, just as they were making a natural progression up to the house of God, so today in our Christian life, that's what's so essential, that we are making a progression, that we're going on with God. And friend, it's tragic whenever you see someone, and my, they have lost the zeal and they've lost the fervor and they've lost the love for God and the things of God, the house of God, and how easily it happens. There are people that used to never miss the Lord's house, friend, but then they miss it perhaps one Sunday. Maybe it's a Sunday night. Maybe they just miss it on certain occasions. And friend, before they know, they're missing it quite often. And you know, it's sad to see that, because they're not making the progression. Because if you love the Lord, you will love His house as well as love His word. You love the fellowship of God's people. I never can understand those that say they really love the Lord and they don't love the fellowship of God's people. I can't understand that, because I can tell you it's the most blessed place to be is to be among the people of God, fellowshipping with the people of God, gathering round the word of God, singing the songs of Zion. My sitting on your own singing is not the same as my gathering amongst God's people and lifting up your hearts in praise unto the Lord. And these, the pilgrims were on their way going up to Jerusalem. And you and I are pilgrims going on to heaven. There's a wee hymn that says, I'm pressing on the upward way. And the second verse is this, my heart has no desire to stay, where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. And I trust today that that is your prayer. And that is your aim today, that through this, the worship of the Lord in God's house and the fellowshipping with God's people in this fellowship in Newton Ards, that you will indeed have this prayer, my aim is higher ground. That the Lord will take you higher with Himself and in the fellowship. You see, the Bible says in whenever the people got saved in the Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, they continued steadfastly. Not just now and again. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' fellowship, in the breaking of bread and the prayers. And of course, in doctrine, first of all, and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And those are good things for us to remember. We need to continue steadfastly. And brothers and sisters, in God's name, even maybe there's some times you say, well, you know, I'm not feeling so good today. I'll tell you, you'll feel far better not sitting at home. You'll feel far better in God's house among the people of God. Now, that's just a wee word of encouragement. That's actually not into the psalm yet. But nevertheless, I believe that's a wee word that God would give to us. Now, whenever you look at this psalm, you see, first of all, the rejoicing. It says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them a dream. They could hardly believe it. It was just like a dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our saw and our tongues with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us. Whereof we are glad. My, whenever the Lord, when you know they were down, the children of Israel were down in Babylon, they said to the children of Israel, sing for us one of the Lord's songs. And then they said, how can we sing the Lord's songs in a strange land? We are in bondage. But my, the Lord has given them liberty. And they're no longer in bondage. The Lord has delivered them. And thank God He has brought His people back home again. And my, they're just saying, I can hardly believe this. But my, whenever they were saying that, our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongues were singing. I believe that God's people ought to be a joyful people. The Bible says, let's stick to the book, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now tell me, how strong are you today? How really strong are you? Are you joyful? Boys said, you know, you can meet some people down the street and you say, how are you today? He's miserable as usual, thank God. And you know, that's the way some people live. God forgive us. My, the world looks upon the child of God. Tell me, what kind of a testimony? Whenever they look at us, do they see that, my, that the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want? Or have we forgotten that? Have we forgotten that, friend? Yea, though I walk through even through the valley of the shadow, I fear no evil. You see, the Lord makes a difference. And I can tell you, He is a difference. And He really makes a difference in our hearts. And here we find that whenever they got out of bondage, they got into freedom, and they got into liberty, they got back at home again, it says our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue was filled with singing. My, they were praising. They were there's their rejoicing. And you know what it said? Even the very heathen said, the Lord had done great things for them. I tell you this, that's what the ungodly should be able to say around Newton Ards. You know, there's something different about those Free Presbyterians. There's something different about... They've got something I haven't got. And what's the secret? The Lord. The Lord. The Lord hath done great things for them. Oh, that God would give His people in the free church, give us back the joy that once we had in the Lord, friend. And I can tell you this, I remember in the early days when I went into the Free Presbyterian Church, everybody was buzzing. The place was buzzing. There was an excitement in the air. I can tell you, you're always expecting God to do something. It wasn't if God was going to do it. You were just waiting for the next thing to happen. Burst upon you. You had an expectation of God. And here's the ungodly saying, listen, the Lord has done great things for them. And you know, friends, not only did the ungodly, listen, then thank God they had this testimony. The Lord had done great things for us. And is that your testimony? Because I can tell you this, whenever the testimony of the child of God, they took it a step further. The Lord had done great things for us. We're off, we're glad. We're glad. And I asked you, are you rejoicing in the Lord this morning? Are you really rejoicing in what the Lord has done? As you've come to God's house, have you come, my friend, with that rejoicing heart? Our mouth was filled with laughter. Our tongue was filled with singing. And then here's the testimony. The Lord hath done great things for us. We're upward glad. There's the rejoicing. Let's move quickly. Look at the verse number 4. It says this. And here we see the reviving. It says, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Here they realized there is more to their present situation than rejoicing. They needed a spiritual reviving. They needed God to stir their hearts again. I tell you, that's what we need today. We need God to give us a stirring again. And I say this humbly and reverently across our denomination and across our churches. We need a stirring of God. We don't want to admit that, friend, but I can tell you we better admit it. Because it's not till you see that we need it, that you'll ever cry unto God. Hear the people cry unto, turn again our captivity. Lord, do it again what you did in the past. You read one of the Psalms that says, we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what you did in their days. And friend, it's good to remember what God did. We're remembering 500 years ago what God did through Martin Luther. We're remembering what God did in the early days of the Free Presbyterian Church. But let me tell you, God's not finished yet. God has more to give us. Are we willing to receive it? Are we willing to be the tools in the hand of God to be a blessing in this community in Newton Ards to reach? Let me tell you, there's multitudes in Newton Ards and they're lost in their sin and they're going to hell, friend. But sad to say, few there are who seem to care. Many of God's people just think, you know, well, I'm saved. Hallelujah, I'm going to heaven. So I'll just go to church on Sunday, maybe morning and maybe evening, or maybe I'll drop into the prayer meeting. And that's all what God requires of me. No, friend, that's not what God requires of you. God requires you more and more. Remember this, you've only one life. You're not getting this is not, friend, just the first run and you'll get a rerun. There's only one life you have. And if you're going to do something for God, friend, you better do it today. Because God doesn't promise you tomorrow. That's important. That's important for only one life. And 'twill soon be passed. And it's only what's done for the Lord will ask, friend. And here's the cry of the people. Turn again our captivity. Yes, they were out. They were out of Babylon. But oh, they needed more than that. They needed God to do something at home. They needed God to do something more. And I believe, friend, we need God to do something more in these days. We need a mighty revival. We need a stirring of God himself. You see, the beginning of mercy and the experiencing of that is but an encouragement for us to pray for God to continue and complete it. God, do it again. Do it again, Lord. Oh, that I know in my heart. I can think of the missions and the meetings that we had in the past, even as a young lad. And I can tell you, friend, let me tell you, God was saving. And God was saving practically every night. Somebody was getting saved. And every Sunday, something was happening. Surely there's a desire in my heart. Oh, God, do that again. God, do it again. Give us those days of refreshment again. Give us those days of stirring again and revival. Yes, there is indeed the rejoicing, there's a reviving. And then we come to verses 5 and 6. It says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And that's what we're going to talk about, verse 6. He that goeth forth, and you see, we've got here the need, friend. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Then he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We talked about the rejoicing, we talked about the reviving. Now we're coming to the reaping. The reaping. And this is a harvest service. But friend, let's notice the conditions here. Because in this final verse of the psalm, we have a promise to those who genuinely seek to reach the lost for Christ. And here it is again. Look at verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And friend, that verse is full of sweet assurance. And I can tell you, I know what it is to be a sower of the word of God. And friend, let me tell you, there will be days of testing, there'll be days of discouragement. And the old devil will come with his discouragement. And you know what, God? Here's a promise. Here's a promise from God. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, there are four things in that little verse that I want us to see very quickly today. First of all, there's the going. He that goeth forth. Now, I'm a farmer's son. And as a farmer's son, friend, I remember the days of the sowing of the seed. Now, of course, thank God it wasn't in my day, but in my father's day, they would take the sower out, but it wasn't the fancy machines they have today. Maybe in the early days, our forefathers would have taken a bag over their shoulder or a basket, and they would carry it, and it would be filled with seed, and they would walk up and down the field, and they would scatter the seed. Remember an old boy one time, it's whenever the tractors came in, and there's an old boy outside Auchnacloy, and he had the first tractor in that community. And of course, he was used with the horses instead of the tractor. And well, this was the first. It was the talk of the countryside. There was a tractor, this machine that they'd never seen before. And so therefore, this man came and he showed him how to plow that field. And my, he plowed half the field. And then he said, now I'm leaving the tractor at the top of the field. Tomorrow morning, he says, I want you to get on that and you finish the field. So the old boy, he went out the next morning, and the countryside at that day, people would gather, never seen a tractor in their life, so they all gathered round to see it happen. Now the old boy gets on the tractor, and he starts the tractor up, and he's going down the field, and he's doing his best he can, and he's plowing, and he's coming near the hedge at the bottom of the field, and he shouts to the tractor, "Whoa, Gerd, whoa!" He thought he was in the horse. And you know, people laughed at him at that time, but thank God he got the plowing done. But friend, listen, in those days, the simplicity, they would go out, and they would scatter the seed with a hand. And they would sow it. He that goeth forth. Here was the assignment. They had to go. The sower went forth to sow. Doesn't the Lord Jesus tell us that in Mark's Gospel 4 and Luke's Gospel chapter 8 about the sowing of the seed? He that goeth forth. The sower went forth to sow. Now, of course, whenever the sower went out, he went out with an expectation. Because I can tell you, he was expecting that because he sowed the seed, that someday there would come the harvest. The harvest would appear. And of course, he was looking forward with hope and expectation whenever he was sowing. He was going to and fro, sowing the seed. And you know, that's the commission that God has given to his people. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Make disciples of all nations." And the word there, "go ye therefore," is this: as you are going, make disciples. In other words, you carry the seed. No matter where you're going, you carry the gospel seed with you with a purpose of planting that seed. You know, some people say today we're living in days of hardness in Ulster, and therefore, what's the use of having missions and what's the use of having the sowing of the seed? Sure, nobody's listening. I heard about a man who went to Africa one time on behalf of a firm. He was selling shoes. And he was selling shoes, and he went there. And after 1 month, because he noticed that people didn't wear shoes in Africa at that time. And therefore, he said, "I'm coming home because nobody wears shoes." So the lad came home, and another salesman went out. And he was no longer there, no sooner there. And this telegram arrived back home. And what did he say? It says, "Send more shoes. Prospects everywhere." See the difference? One boy saw because nobody wore shoes. See, there's no use. What's the use of selling shoes? Nobody wears them. But you see, the other lad, he saw that everybody could wear shoes. He saw that there were prospects. And friend, let me tell you, the old devil wants to discourage you. Now the devil wants to drive you down and say, sure, what's the use of teaching the Sunday school? What's the use of talking to the young people? What's the use of going to the prayer meeting? What's the use of going to church? Sure, there's nothing happening. And the old devil says, just sit back and do nothing. They don't see there's prospects everywhere. As you're going, go ye. That's the command. That's the assignment that God has given to us. See, the Bible tells us about the Lord's assignment. It says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came seeking. He came seeking the lost. And friend, to do that, there was anxiety. Yes, there were burdens to be carried. Yes, it meant him leaving the ivory palaces of glory and going to the cross of Calvary. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was sitting at a well one day. And there was a woman came along there to the well. What did he do? He sowed the seed. He sowed the gospel seed in her heart. And she was there and he says, give me water. And Maya, she was drawing from the water. He says, you know, if you knew who was asking you, you would ask me. I would give you a well of water within you. The Lord Jesus opened the conversation. He was the one that introduced the conversation. But he used a very simple illustration. You see, the disciples had their assignments. Philip was in the midst of a revival, and the Lord says to him, leave the revival and go away down there out into the wilderness, because God had a man there who was searching. And what did Philip do? He, as a man was sitting there reading the book of Isaiah concerning the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And the Spirit of God says, Philip, join yourself to him. Join yourself to him. He got an assignment. Paul got an assignment when the Lord saved him. He says, he'll be my witness. And friend, so are you. Maybe there's someone here today and you say, but listen, I'm not the preacher. So what, friend? So that puts you on unemployment. Is that right? You have no responsibility to God to go. Let me tell you, you can go places that the preacher can't go. You will meet people that the preacher will never meet. But are you going? And as you go, listen, here is the going. He that goeth. You remember that challenge of God's word? Whom shall I send, or who will go for us? And what did the prophet say? He says, hey, here am I, Lord, send me. And to be honest, friend, before God, many of God's people are sitting back today doing absolutely nothing for God. And you know what they say? Here am I, God, send somebody else. Just let me sit on the sidelines. Let me just enjoy the ride to heaven. Who will go for us? Tell me. Will you? You say, well, I'm old. So am I. Brother Johnson's just 1 year behind me and he's holding on to that year like grim death. Here am I. Moses was 80 years of age when God says to him, Moses, time to go. Not to go home. Time to lead the children of Israel. It's time. I can use you now. And God took him into the school, let me tell you. He put him into the back of the desert and looked after the sheep for a while before he led the children of Israel, the flock of God. He did just ordinary tasks looking after the ordinary flock before God let him in charge of the great flock of Israel. 80 years of age, God says, time to go. Let me tell you, God never put one of his children on the unemployment list. And friend, you're in service, you're in harness till God calls you home. Until God calls you home. You're my witnesses. He that goeth. Very quickly, listen, there's the going. And then, secondly, he that goeth forth and weepeth. There's the groaning. He that goeth forth and weepeth. And here's a man and he's going with a seed. And my friend, let me tell you, as he walks down, the furrow's there and he walks the ground and he's carrying the seed in his hands. He wants to bring a harvest because he realizes that this is important for the family. And you know, I don't know what burdens upon this man, but I'll tell you what he's doing. He's sowing the seed and there's something happening. There's teardrops that are falling as he sows it. Because he's carrying a burden. And as he drops that seed in to the ground, there's a uniting of the blessed seed with his burning tears. And he longs for the harvest. And I say this with all my heart, friend. I believe that many of God's people have lost the burning desire. And they've lost the burden for souls. And men and women are dying all around them. Listen, family members are dying all around them. But God's people are not in the prayer meeting anymore. I ask this question for I don't know the answer, brother. I remember in the early days of our congregation in Macrofelt, I remember the little tin hut that we used to be in, remember the prayer meetings, and let me tell you, I remember God's people as they prayed for their loved ones. Many times God's people broke down in prayer. They cried because of a mother, a father, a son, or a daughter that was unsaved and going to hell, and they couldn't bear the thought of it. And they shed their tears. But I ask me the question as well, I ask you, when was the last time, friend, that our hearts were broken, really broken, over lost souls? Is there a family member? Mother, I'm asking you. Father, I'm asking you. Have you got loved ones? Have you got friends, brothers, sisters? Have you loved ones that are dying in their sin? And if God was to cut them off today, they would go to hell and burn in hell forever and ever and ever and ever. The anguish of a lost eternity. Does it not bother us anymore? Does it not burden us anymore? I'm not talking about emotionalism that's stirred up by the flesh, friend. But I'm talking about the seriousness that many of God's people had for the souls of dying men and women. They were deeply moved. He that goeth forth and weepeth. I heard about a young missionary who was invalided home. He was asked why he was so eager to get back to his people. And he said this, because I cannot sleep for thinking about them. And the tears ran down his cheeks. William Burns, he was used of God in the revival work in Murray McShane's parish and then later in China, was commencing his ministry. His mother met him on the streets of Glasgow one day, and he was sitting there as he waited for her to return to him from shopping. And when she returned, he was sitting crying. She said to him, "Why those tears?" And William said, "I am weeping at the sight of the multitudes in the streets, so many of whom are passing through life unseen." Have we lost the burden? He that goeth forth and weepeth. Jeremiah was broken over. He says, "Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." Friend, let me tell you before God, you and I know Ulster's dry today, spiritually. And yet Jeremiah, as he thought about the daughters of his people, "Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears." But that's not us. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. There's the giving. That's the third thing. What are we to carry, friend? Precious seed. And the Lord Jesus tells us in the parable, the seed is the word. You mightn't be able to preach. You mightn't be able to stand up in front of a congregation, friend. And if God hasn't called you to that, you're better not there. But because you're not standing in the pulpit, that doesn't mean there's nothing for you to do. There is. And always remember this, little as much when God's in it. It might be a gospel tract. It might be the place of prayer. I remember as a young student, when I came to Belfast first of all as a young student, I remember being asked by Dr. Pacey to go and visit a wee woman in Ballarat Street. And I went to visit this lady. I'd never met her in my day, but she was sitting there and her body was wrecked, absolutely wrecked with arthritis. Every part of her fingers and her bones were twisted. And she couldn't move of her seat. I never forget, I read the word of God with her. I sang a wee hymn to her. And then I prayed. And I was just about to lift my head at the end of praying. And this little disfigured hand, I felt it coming on the top of my head. And she said, "Son, just keep your head bowed. I want to talk to the Lord." You know what she said? "Lord Jesus, thank you for the way I am. I can spend time in your presence. Lord, there's nothing else I can do, but Lord, I can pray." She couldn't hand out a gospel tract, friend, but she was in touch with God in prayer. She backed up prayer with those that were able to go forward. And friend, let me tell you, there is something that you can do. Do something more for God than you'd narts. The harvest, the fields are white, they're ready to harvest. There is the going. There is indeed the groaning. There is the giving. Oh, that you would give the word of God. And you say, "Would listen, preacher, sure nothing's happening. Listen to this promise. My word shall never return unto me void." It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish. It shall accomplish. And you mightn't see it happening now, friend. You mightn't see it happening. Let me tell you, a farmer goes out to sow a seed, and there's farmers here, and you know, let me tell you this, you don't sow the seed today and reap the harvest tomorrow. You have to wait for the harvest. You've got to have patience. And just because it seems to be that it's not happening all at once, or it's not happening as it used to happen, God wants you to be faithful. That's your responsibility. Be faithful. And remember this, you can't save the person. God can. You be faithful to the Lord. You sow the gospel seed. Yes, there is a going, and he that goeth forth, and you've got to go to and fro, friend. You can't sit there anymore. You can't say it's not me. It says, he that goeth forth. Yes, they that sow, but then it comes to he. That comes to the individual. And God, let me tell you, will call you before him someday, let me tell you, and he will require of you your faithfulness, your stewardship. You'll stand before him, your stewardship to God. Tell me, what have you done? What are you doing? I challenge myself, friend. Can I do more? Can I do more for God? And here it is, he that goeth forth, there's the going. He that goeth forth and weepeth, there's the groaning. He that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed. Ah, you're not presenting yourself. You're presenting Christ. That's why you're taken to this lost world. You're taking this lost world. Christ, he's the answer. He's the only Savior. Thank God he's the only way to heaven. And then there's the last thing. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There's the garnering. Shall doubtless come again. Hallelujah. There's the reaping time. And here's the promise, friend. Listen to it. Shall doubtless. There's not a doubt about it. There is not a doubt about it. You be faithful to God. You leave the rest. There is no doubt you will come again rejoicing. Do you know why? It says your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not in vain. It's not in vain in the Lord. May God help us today. Talmage wrote these words. When I am dying, how glad I shall be that the lamp of my life has been blazed out for thee. I shall not worry whatever I give. In time and money, one soul to save. I shall not worry that the way has been rough, that thy dear feet led the way was enough. When I am dying, how glad I shall be that the lamp of my life has been burned out for thee. With this, I close. A preacher went one day. A person was dying. He went to his dying bed. He sat down beside that dying church member. He looked into the face of his preacher and he said this, Pastor, I'm not afraid to die. And the pastor said, that's good. And then he noticed there were tears running down the side of the man's face. He says, Pastor, I'm not afraid to die. I'm ashamed to die. Because God left me here on this world to reach others. And I take nothing with me. No sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. We will come rejoicing. Friend, what sheaves will we lay after you finish the journey? What you lay at Jesus' feet. Only one life. So we've got. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word today. I pray that our God, that you'll challenge my heart afresh through thy word and help me, our God, to help me to finish well. Help us, our God, to serve thee with all of our hearts. Oh God, give us the desire to reach the lost for thee. Lord, if there's one today in the service, they're not saved. May this be the day. May this be the morning that close in with Christ's offer of mercy and saving grace for Jesus' sake. Amen. May God bless his word to all of our hearts. May God stir us afresh for Jesus' sake. Amen.